The gospel. Every human being stands guilty against our Creator. We've rejected His holiness and our purpose to bear His image. We've turned away from Him. We've followed our own way. And as a result, we stand underneath the condemnation of God, and we face the eternal consequence of our sin in eternal punishment. But our God is merciful. He is gracious. He came in His infinite mercy into this world. The second of the Trinity, the Son of God, was born of a virgin and lived a perfect God-honoring life as a human being, and then was crucified on a Roman cross in our place, dying for our sin. He was buried. 3 days, He rose, having defeated sin and death on behalf of all of those who will turn from their sin and put their trust wholly in Jesus Christ. A few years ago, my wife Trish and I were on vacation, and we were in Florida for a couple of weeks, and while we were there, we had this opportunity to talk to one of the employees of the hotel. And so I wanted to just at least get the gospel, this gospel that I just explained to you, in front of him. And it turned out he'd already given some thought to the concepts of the gospel. Actually, he told us that there was a huge barrier for him. He said, this was kind of his question: how on earth could somebody possibly die for another person's sin? How can that happen? You see, this man understood two very, very important concepts about the bad news. And he understood them correctly. He understood that, you know, we as human beings, as sinners, are correctly, rightly under the justice of God, under the condemnation of God. And he also understood this, that every single human being is a sinner. We're all in the same place. So how could it possibly be that one human being could take the place of another human being when he himself or she herself has to face their own judgment, has to face their own consequences of their sin? Well, that's a right question to ask. I think that's a good question to ask. There's nothing wrong with asking that question about humanity. The problem comes in what he was missing about Jesus. And I want to put to you the answer that I gave him. The similarity between humans, the similarity between us, it confirms our great need to be saved. The difference between us and Christ shows why He alone can be our Saviour. We humans, every single one of us born in Adam, are the sinners. Imagine for a moment, because we're looking at Isaiah 53 today on this wonderful Easter Friday, and imagine for a moment you are reading this passage, the original people it was written to. You are exiles in Babylon, you're Israel, you're hoping and you're waiting for God to bring you out of exile back to the promised land. And you pick up the book of Isaiah and you start reading the words in Isaiah chapter 53. And now, Isaiah wrote them before your time, but he wrote them for you, to give you encouragement in this time as you're in exile in Babylon. And then you read these words from verse 1. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, when an Israelite reads about the arm of the Lord, they understand that this is talking about the very power of God, His powerful arm of salvation. And so if they just stopped at verse 1 in Isaiah 53, if they didn't read any further, you might actually look at the reason that God wants to is going to save you is just because these horrible Babylonian oppressors have come and taken you, and he just needs to raise an army and get you out of there and demolish the Babylonians. And you know what? In fact, God did raise an army, and he did overcome the Babylonians, and the Israelites did get to go back to Jerusalem. But then if that was all that they thought, they would be missing the point, and God gives them through Isaiah why they are truly in exile, why they are under judgment. You get that in verses 4 to 6. You need to understand truly why you're in the situation that says, I need a Saviour. Listen to these verses again. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. If you're a careful reader, right here, you're going to see a huge difference in two pronouns. One is a singular pronoun and one is a plural pronoun. You've got the singular of him and his and the plural of us and our. Look in these verses and just think about what we see, particularly in the plural pronouns to start with. If you just read the plural pronouns in these verses, what do you come up with? You come up with our griefs, our sorrows, our transgressions, our iniquities, our need for peace, our need for healing, our straying, our turning, everyone our own way, the iniquity of us all. The Israelites in exile in Babylon actually are in the same boat of every single human being on earth. They have exactly the same need, our sin. The rebellion against God causes our need for a Saviour. We are guilty from turning against God, from transgressing in rebellion against him, from living in iniquity, from the degradation of our own immorality. And we are under the condemnation of God because we are all sinners. And our sin deserves judgment. If we look to the other pronoun here, the single one, he and his, we see what our sin actually begets. The one who bears and carries our sin, the one who bears sin, he is stricken. He is smitten. He is afflicted. He is pierced. He is crushed. He is chastised. He is wounded. The Lord, Yahweh, lays it on him. You see, Israel, your salvation can't simply come from God raising up an army to demolish Babylon. That's not where it is. You, in your sin, must face justice. And it's an eternal justice. And your sin is an absolute affront to God. Whoever bears sin must take the full brunt of the wrath of God. Do you see those words, pierced? Do you see those words, crushed? In the original language, they're very severe words. To crush means to pulverize to dust. And to pierce here is often in the Old Testament associated with a very, very agonizing death. God absolutely hates your sin. Whoever bears sin is rightly under the infinite power of the justice of God's eternal wrath. See, as you read Isaiah, you see the righteous wrath of God on our sin, and you have to say something to yourself. You have to say, whatever piercing and crushing is here, I totally deserve it. I stand before God, and God hates sin. Let me give you a quote from Old Testament theologian John Oswalt. He says this about it. He says, "We typically wish to make light of our shortcomings, to explain away our mistakes. But God will have none of it. The refusal of humanity to bow to the Creator's rule and our insistence on drawing up our own moral codes that pander to our lusts are no shortcomings, they are no mistakes, they are the stuff of death and corruption. And unless someone can be found to stand in our place, they will see us impaled on the sword of our own making and broken on the racks of our own design." Sin is serious. There's not one of us, not one of us, who can bear its punishment. We need a substitute. And so there are just two more words that I want you to see. Two words that show that there must be a huge difference between us and Jesus. He's not in the same category with us, even though he is in a same category with us. He is a human, but he is different to us in that he is the only innocent one. And they are words, here are the words, that the other two words that I want you to see in this text, they are simply for our. For our. This suffering servant who is the great powerful arm of the Lord. Here is how the might of God comes in salvation, saves us in a way that we would never expect. He takes the eternal wrath of God for us. He is pierced for our transgressions. He is crushed for our iniquities as a substitution in our place. You see, it's only him. It's only the singular pronoun. There is only a singular pronoun that is attached to innocence for the one alone who can stand in our place. It can only be singular. None of us can do anything about it. None of us can stand in for any of us. There is only one who can, and we need someone different from us. Someone not in the category of us, any of us. And so this is why Paul, and you're going to hear this verse again later, in 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for our sake. For our sake. He made him, singular, to be sin. Who knew no sin? So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Brothers and sisters, our friend who Trish and I spoke with at the hotel, he understood something right about the human plight. He actually understood something about the nature of the cross. We are all sinners and cannot save ourselves. We're all individually under the judgment for our own sin and cannot pay it for another. What he didn't understand is not just that we need a savior, but that we need a substitute. A substitute who is innocent, so that God's justice might be exercised in our place. We need penal substitutionary atonement through someone who is very different to us. We need Jesus.